you'd turn in the back of the hymnal just prior to opening the scriptures, turn in the back of the hymnal to page 62 in the upper left-hand corner of the page numbers in the back. You'll find there question and answer 125 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is Lord's Day 50. The Heidelberg Catechism, for those of you I suspect are not familiar with it, is a summary of Bible teaching in question and answer format. And the question and answer format is a pedagogical device. The Heidelberg Catechism, though it's 400 years from the time when it was written, was originally written for instructing new converts in the faith. And since most of us are first-generation Christians, it does us well to pay attention to this, that we also might benefit as generations that have gone before us have. We're looking at this particular point in the Heidelberg Catechism, looking at the Lord's Prayer, an explanation, an application of the Lord's Prayer. And the answers to these questions are actually in themselves prayers. In this section of the Heidelberg Catechism, there are three main parts, which follows the outline of the Book of Romans. Sin, salvation, and service, or misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And more about that momentarily. But we're looking at the Lord's Prayer in this section because we have considered that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. And with particular attention in this congregation to the subject of prayer, not only personally and familially, but also congregationally. And emphasizing that particularly as we go through this particular rotation of the Heidelberg Catechism. So we're in the fourth request or fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. There is a preface, Our Father in Heaven, and then three petitions, and then this is the fourth. It'll be followed five and six, and then a concluding doxology. So if you give your attention to this, then we'll turn to the Word of God. What does the fourth request or petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. And then, trusting all are familiar with the wording of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, I'd ask you to turn in the Bible this morning to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 1. And we'll look only at verse 17 this morning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. 2 points to the sermon this morning. First of all, the relationships, and secondly, the rationale. The relationships and the rationale. Three relationships, particularly the relationship of this petition in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, to the rest of the Lord's Prayer, or the first half of the Lord's Prayer. We begin here the second three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, which have to do with our concerns and our needs. But the first half, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, have to do preeminently with God. That is, our concerns in prayer are to follow our concerns for God, that God comes first. And it needs to be said over and over again, and probably can never be said enough. And yet I find myself having to remind myself to tell you this over and over again as well. is that God comes first. God comes first in every area of life. God comes first. God comes first in terms of our daily lives. God comes first in terms of our tithing, our finances. God comes first in our thinking. And of course, God comes first in our praying as well. And I've tried to point out to you as we have looked through the Lord's Prayer and the subject of prayer, that for many of us, we actually get that turned around and we need a 180 degree reformation. We're very quick to come before the throne of grace with our concerns, our petitions, our needs, our wants, and our prayer lists. And certainly that is legitimate. I'm not telling you not to do that. Except that when Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to pray that God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will should be first. And that's the priority. That's the preeminence. That is the first concern. So God comes first when it comes to our prayers as well. And as we observed on our National Day of Prayer, when using the acronym ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication, we were seeking to follow that particular priority and pattern that the Lord gives us in the Lord's Prayer. That adoration came first. That certainly, as we assembled on the National Day of Prayer, there are concerns for our country, there are concerns for the spiritual well-being of our country, there are concerns having to do with giving thanks, but first is to adore God, to worship God for who He is, not just worship God for what He gives us. We need to remember that He is the giver and not focus simply on the gifts. So, the first relationship that I draw your attention to here as we begin to look at this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is that it comes after the priority, that Jesus gives us the pattern of prayer, and I hope that you are enacting and implementing that 180-degree reformation in your prayer lives, whether it be individually or familially, that your concerns, your petitions, your prayer lists are to come subsequent to or following a time where you are giving God glory, where you are worshiping the Lord, where you are adoring Him, where you are telling Him that you love Him, and that you are praying for His priorities first, that His name would be hallowed on earth, that His kingdom would come on earth, and that His will would be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Second relation, though, is the relationship to others. We've looked at the relationship vertically. Look at the relationship horizontally. What do I mean by that? Well, give us this day our daily bread. Very interesting. Jesus, when he teaches you to pray, does not teach you to pray in the singular, but rather teaches you to pray corporately. Give us this day our daily bread. Not give me this day my daily bread. And as has been noted previously in other sermons, we have here the fact reflected in this that the Bible is covenantal. Covenantal. What is a covenant? It's a relationship that God makes and guarantees by His Word. When you hear covenant, you should think relationship. And the Bible is a covenantal document. It is not God's love letter to you individually. It is a book, a series of books, if you will, that is given to a people, not a person. It's given to His church, all right? And here, that's being reflected in our prayers. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a corporate prayer, a covenantal prayer. And we've been trying to focus on that as a congregation as well. And as I mentioned to you previously, with such an enthusiastic response to the National Day of Prayer, we will pray as a congregation corporately once a month. Going forward, where either on a Thursday night, as with the National Day of Prayer, or we'll be discussing this today in the council meeting, or whether it's just on a Sunday after the 11:30 service. We sit everybody down. If people have to leave, they have to leave. You may leave. We're not going to twist anybody's arm to stay. But we want to pray as a congregation. We want to pray corporately. We want to bring our petitions, our concerns, and our needs before the throne of grace as a congregation. So, first relationship is to the first half of the Lord's Prayer, God's priorities, then our priorities. And then the horizontal dimension, a relationship to others, that as you pray this prayer, remember that it is given to us corporately and covenantally. And then thirdly, the relationship to God. The relationship to God. Our text this morning in James chapter 1, verse 17, tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Our Belgic confession says that God is the overflowing fountain of all good. The overflowing fountain of all good. And we need to remember the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we need to recall the relationship in prayer to God, that He is the overflowing fountain of all good, and that every good and good gift and every perfect gift comes from our Father's hands. Let's look at that more specifically, though, in the rationale. Why do I say that? Excuse me. Because this demands your daily attention. Hopefully you are praying daily. Hopefully you are praying the Lord's Prayer daily as well. And this particular petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," demands your daily attention. And I think that's so easy to neglect. It's so easy to forget. And it's so easy to overlook for a variety of reasons. But we need to daily recall and remind ourselves that we are daily dependent upon God for every gift and for every good and perfect gift. Everything. If I could reflect this to you in my own life, I find this difficult and something that I need to remind myself as well. When I lived in Michigan, of course, it was a rural community. We lived there for 14 years, and a lot of the people in the congregation were farmers, and they would milk their cows, and occasionally they would want me to come over and milk a cow, and I was like, "No, I'm from the Bronx. Forget about milking cows." You know, and they were like, "Oh," and then they would show me pictures of them milking cows, and right out of the cow's teat, they'd be squeezing the milk into the. I was like, "That's disgusting." They were like, "Well, that's where your milk comes." "No, no, no. Milk comes from a carton. I get it at Wallbounds. That's where milk comes from. And I don't drink milk out of cows. I drink it out of a container, right?" Or vegetables. I remember Peter, my son, and I, we were in Ripon, California, and one of our close friends, they were here a couple of months ago, the Van Groningens, own huge, huge thousands of acres and grow tons of crops there. And we were out in the field, and he was showing me his field, and he reached down in the dirt and picked up a tomato, wiped the dirt off it, and started eating it. I was like, "That's gross." Vegetables don't come from the ground. They're dirty. You know, they got to be clean. You go to the supermarket to get tomatoes, right? Well, that's a Bronx boy, right? But most of us, having grown up in the city, except for Judy, most of us that have grown up in the city, that's the way we think of it. Where do we get milk? Well, you get milk at Wallbounds. You want a tomato? You go to the grocery store, right? But we're daily dependent on that. We need to remember that God is the one who stands behind that milk container. That milk container is processed in a factory which is populated by people whom God has given jobs to put the milk into a container, to seal it, to keep it fresh, put a date on it so you know it's fresh, and then have it trucked to the supermarket, and then before it gets to the factory, it's actually been at some dairyman's farm, and that cows had to be milked in order to get that, and how many cows have to be milked in order to supply one grocery store with milk in order for you and for your family. And we need to remember that, of course, God made that cow, and God gave that cow as a good gift to man so that you could have milk on your Cheerios this morning. But that came from God, that milk. And it's helpful every once in a while just to stop and to trace that back and say, look at what God has done. God created a perfectly amazing animal. It can eat grass, it can chew the cud, and it can put milk on my table. This is incredible. That's a good and perfect gift that comes from the hand of God. We need to recall that. As I said, this is It recalls your daily attention. Give us this day our daily milk and bread. All right? When I was in Michigan, the people there, because they were an agricultural community and most of them had been raised as farmers, are acutely aware of their dependence on God every day. We would meet, as we do here, before worship, and I would meet with the elders, and the elders would often come in before worship, and they would say, "Pastor, you have to pray for rain, because if we're not going to get rain, then we're not going to get crops. If we're not going to get crops, we're not going to have food. We're not going to have cows being fed. We're not going to have milk." Or they would come in sometimes and they'd say, "Pastor, it's been raining too much. Pray that the rain would stop," right? But the point is that they recognize their daily dependence upon God because they live close to the earth. They live close to the land. They don't live in urban centers like you and like me. But this petition, you see, and James here is drawing our attention to the fact that we need to recognize that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God, that He is the one upon whom we are daily dependent for these things. So, this is a petition for, and it expresses gratitude for, daily provisions that come to us from the hand of God. And this petition should be prayed passionately, and it should be prayed frequently, because God's grace is so mind-boggling. Pray, you should pray before meals. It's a little thing, right? And yet, so often can be neglected or forgotten or overlooked. That simple act that when you sit down and there is food on the table before you, that you recognize God gave you that food. God gave you that food. Thank Him for it. Listen, I would suggest to you that failure to pray before meals is a singular act of profound ingratitude to God and a failure to acknowledge that God has given you your daily bread. And I would encourage you to pray in public as well. To pray in public when you're out at a restaurant or you're at McDonald's or wherever it is in public. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Just bow your head and pray. Perhaps even if you're in a group, pray out loud. I was at lunch Tuesday with some other pastors at Sushi Palace out on Long Island. It was a nice lunch. And we concluded our meeting with prayer. And I prayed. And don't you know, as we walked out of the restaurant, there was a woman that had been sitting there, and she said, "I'd like to thank you for your prayer." She was listening. She paid attention. I said, "Well, thank you for that compliment." I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "I hope so." I said, "Well, let me talk to you." And we sat down and had to talk about the gospel. So you never know. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy about praying in public. You never know who's listening. You might have an opportunity to testify. So pray before meals. Pray even for little things. I've mentioned to you before that I often pray for a parking spot. Right? In New York, these are things that concern daily life. Lord, give us a parking spot. Or, if you find a parking spot, just a little ejaculatory prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for providing a parking spot. Thank God. God has showered you and me daily with tons. And it's easy to forget that God is the overflowing fountain of all good, and that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Be humble, be grateful, and pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." Let's pray now.